Inspiring solutions to save America, one show at a time. Are you ready to get on board?
They believe that they can destroy this bond that exists between you and Trump if they somehow make Trump look bad, make Trump look like a reprobate, embarrass you about Trump. They can't do it because you came before Trump. Desperately want Trump gone, and I know that they desperately want it codified that Trump cannot run again, because make no mistake, they remain scared to death of you, and they remain scared to death of Trump. Trump, 75 million, 80 million votes, and I'm going to tell you, you're not going anywhere. Even if Trump does, you're not. Which I think remains one of our big campaign strengths going forward. They can't separate you from Trump. And more importantly, they can't separate you from the ideas. They can't separate you from MAGA. They can't separate you from Make America Great Again.
From sea to shining sea, 3 hours of bold truth and excellence. The Wendy Bell Radio Program.
All right, it is official. Hour two of the Wendy Bell Radio Program on the clock. Remember, you can always follow along in the live stream at Wendy Bell Radio Network. We show the whole program live on video, okay? We stream the whole thing, and there's this chat mechanism that allows you to join in on the conversation. Now, I'm bringing this up specifically because I'm interested in what your perspective is. And I encourage you to join in the chat and share with me your thoughts to this question. What's going on with Mike Johnson? I don't understand. Like, he votes for things that I'm not down with. He votes for that minibus, for the omnibus, for the minibus. He voted against getting the federal government out of our local schools. He voted for making women draft eligible. Some of these things are not congruous with a staunch constitutional conservative who was a really big part of Donald Trump's impeachment team. They clearly have a very close alliance. And one must believe, after 7 years of getting shafted, lied about, all sorts of garbage, and now on criminal trial today in Manhattan, that Donald Trump has to know who he is selecting in this iteration of his government. And he has selected Mike Johnson to be in this position. And so this is where I have a hard time reconciling, right? So if we can all agree that there need to be parameters on how much the government can meddle in our life, spy on us, and then lie about it after the fact under the guise of a national security threat, right? It's always about your safety. We're spying on you and invading your privacy and trampling all over your constitutional rights. But, I mean, it's for the greater good. It's like the vaccine. It's magic. Just go get it. Yeah, but we're not buying that. Because the government is corrupt, the DOJ sucks, and we're on to this. So why would Mike Johnson vote to sink an amendment that would require the FBI to get a warrant to spy on us? And then after that happened, why would he then fly down to Mar-a-Lago to be at the president's invitation, at his request? Come here and join me. And we're going to do a joint press conference, brief, all the flags behind us. We're going to hit this podium and we're going to drop something that House GOP members have been working on. Legislation to prevent illegal immigrants from signing up at welfare or other offices to get a driver's license, to state ID, whatever it is, to prevent them from becoming voting members of a country they don't pay anything into, but bleed dry from their needs. So So I want you to hear this. It really doesn't make sense to me. The vote and then the closeness with Trump and Trump, they're clearly doing something. They clearly have a plan for Section 702. Donald Trump clearly has a vision for a new iteration of the bureaucracy. And if it means an utter implosion of the DOJ, dismantling the FBI and starting from scratch, so be it. And if it means putting whistleblowers who lost their jobs, who were vilified, who were lied about incessantly, who the media lied about for the DOJ, if those people can be put into positions of power, I'm good with that. Let's take the Stephen Friends. Let's take the Kyle Serafins. Let's take people like Stephen Sund from the Capitol Police, who have proven to us in their own conflicted whistleblower testimony that the system's broken. And let's put these people in charge of helping to fix it. This is Mike Johnson dropping the SAVE Act, all right? Quickly, it would require blue states to obtain proof of citizenship for voter registration. And that's not already required. When you hear how ineffective, inefficient, and woeful all of the quote-unquote rules presently are, your face begins to melt off. Here's Mike Johnson at the podium Friday, Mar-a-Lago, Trump next to him, behind him, saying, hey, we're working together. And this is important, and this is what we are doing. Here's audio soundbite one.
You need to understand something really important about federal law. Since 1993, the National Voter Registration Act, we call it the Motor Voter Law, allows people to sign up to vote when they get a driver's license. If an individual only asserts or simply states that they are a citizen, they don't have to prove it. They can register that person to vote in a federal election. And you see, states are currently prohibited, believe it or not, the states are prohibited from asking someone to prove that they're a citizen.
What?
The federal voter registration form just has a check a box. And if you do that, you're good. The states can't allow it. Well, we think that's a serious problem.
Oh my gosh. What do you people do that doesn't suck? How is this complicated? Right? It's like asking a murderer, check this box. Did you kill that person? Yes or no? No. Okay. Sorry for interrupting you. Carry on. Are you a United States citizen? Yes. Okay. Come on over here. Smile. Look right here. Okay. There we go. Good. Are you out of your mind? This is the system that we have in our feckless federal government and all the clowns running the states? Didn't maybe hone in on this and say, this is a problem. Mike Johnson continues. We want to drop legislation that fixes that, he says. Listen, it's common sense.
The House Republicans are introducing a bill that will require proof of citizenship to vote. It seems like common sense. I'm sure all of us would agree. We only want U.S. citizens to vote in U.S. elections. But there are some Democrats who don't want to do that. We believe that one of their designs, one of the reasons for this open border, which everybody asks all around the country, why would they do this? Why would they allow all this chaos? Why the violence? Because they want to turn these people into voters.
Bing, 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 bing. It's like, what? I had no idea. Is that why there's an open turnstile at the border? Really? I saw a video of them boating ashore in California. It's a freaking free-for-all. We are a laughing stock of planet Earth because of these morons who hate America and are trying to destroy it. And finally, audio soundbite three. You know, it's all the welfare. It's not just going to the DMV and being like, you know what, I'd like to get an ID. It's going and getting welfare because they're signing them up in those offices. Listen.
Right now, the administration is encouraging illegals to go to their local welfare office to sign up for benefits. Well, guess what? When you go to a welfare office, they also ask you if you would like to register to vote. And so many people, we think, are going to do that. And you know what? The numbers are so high. There's so many millions of illegals in the country that if only 1 out of 100 voted, they would cast potentially hundreds of thousands of votes in the election. That could turn an election. This could be a tight election in our congressional races around the country. It could, if there are enough votes, affect the presidential election. And so that's why House Republicans are going to act. I'm going to announce to you today, here standing alongside President Trump, that we will do everything within our power to ensure that we do have free and fair elections in this country. If we don't have that in a constitutional republic, we have nothing. It's the basis of who we are as a nation, and we owe that to the American people.
I just... Illegals are the new COVID. It's the fail-safe. It's the protection. When your team sucks, and everybody knows they suck, because the point of your team is to suck, and then people start waking up to the suck, you've got to find a way to still win elections when the awakening happens. And the awakening is happening. So what do? Well, in 2020, you launch a virus in concert with Zuckerbuck's ballot drop boxes, ballot harvesting. Ruby Freeman and her mom running the ballots all night long. The ones with no creases, the ones that weren't marked by hand, right? Now you have illegals. That's the COVID. That's the play. And can you believe it's happening? Of course it's happening. When we come back, I've got an audio soundbite. We found this guy in Wisconsin. He actually busts it open. He's like, did you guys know here in Wisconsin, if you go to get benefits, you can get your voter ID card? What? Yes, it's happening. And by the way, don't fall for this on tax day. Rich people, pay your fair share. We're going to blow that out of the water like this. Next on the Wendy Bell Radio Network. All right, so here we have Mike Johnson, Donald Trump at Mar-a-Lago saying, hey, we've got this thing, this SAVE Act. It's going to require that the blue states in particular obtain proof of citizenship for voter registration. Because right now, all you have to do is say, yeah, I'm a citizen. And the state representative, the person at the DMV or at the welfare office or what have you, can't say, prove it. So what's the point of asking the question? It's so stupid. There's so much stupid going on out there. Well, this also, the SAVE Act, also deports illegal aliens who register to vote. That's kind of important. And it up to 5 years in prison for anybody who registers an illegal. Now, if there's actual teeth to that, if there's actual enforcement to that, pass it. Pass it yesterday. Facts. Because listen to this guy. He's a guy in Wisconsin. And he echoes this idea that Mike Johnson just dropped. That you can go get welfare in Wisconsin, go to the office, go to their website, and it says right there, hey, do you need to register? Because we can help you with that. Say what? Listen.
And so as we know, they've been shipping a lot of illegal people all over the country, and they're bringing them into Wisconsin. Now, this says free ID for voting. Get an ID for voting, even if you do not have the documentation to get a regular Wisconsin ID.
What?
This is on Wisconsin.dot's website, okay? I'm going to show you something else. Let's really look at number three here. If you don't have all or any of these, you can still get an ID for voting. I'm willing to bet that the blue people are giving them hunties, to vote blue.
Here's some cash.
If this isn't election interference that's going on in the United States right now, and this is one state, you can look this up, honey, wisconsin.com. I don't know what is.
I don't know what is. It's ridiculous. They do it in front of you. They don't even try to hide it. It's like, boop, boop, boop. Hey, look over here. Boop, boop, boop. Come on in. Boop. Oh, we've got a document for you. Boop. Here's your driver's license. All right, how about this? Issues and insights. The shocking truth about tax fairness. I thought I'd give you a couple paragraphs of this. Just in case you still believe in that old campy trope, pay your fair share. Those rich, fat cat white Republicans over there, they're not paying their fair share. Really? It's Joe Biden and company who aren't. After spending decades peddling the fiction that the rich don't pay their fair share of taxes, Democrats have convinced 60% of adults that it's true, according to the latest Issues and Insights poll. This includes half of Republicans and nearly two-thirds of independents. And just because most people believe something doesn't make it true. And in this case, it is wildly and demonstrably false. As the Issues and Insights poll report today shows, the richest 1% of Americans now pay 45% of all federal income taxes collected. The highest level of taxes as a share of the total in history. The bottom 75% of income earners, in stark contrast, account for only 11% of federal income taxes paid. Top 1% pays 45%. Bottom 3/4 pays only 11%. Huh. Think about it this way. 4 million people in this country, let's just say roughly the population of the city of Los Angeles, pay more than half of all federal income taxes. 4 million people. On the other hand, 40 million people, roughly the entire population of California, pay nothing in either income or payroll taxes. So they get a net tax refund from the federal government. And despite what you've heard, of course, ad nauseum about how Trump's tax cuts were some kind of a giveaway to the rich, their share of the income tax burden has shot up since those pro-growth tax cuts went into effect. So no, the tax code does not let the rich get off the hook, not by a long shot. But it is unfair because it is all so horrifyingly complicated, this said. The tax code is so complex, it is so tangled, that Americans spend nearly $300 billion just to figure out how much they owe the government. It is a racket. It is a shtick. It is a grift. It is a money laundering operation. You're going to pay taxes. Then you're going to pay taxes on the things that you buy with the money that you pay taxes on. When you die, the money that you give to your kids is taxed after you already paid taxes on it and paid everything to the government. They're going to take half more at the end of it. And by the way, when you figure out how much more you owe because the government has no shortage of stupid measures to waste your and your family's generational wealth on, you get bent over again by your CPA. Just in case you were wondering what that feeling is this morning on this tax day. There you go. All right, when we come back on the Wendy Bell Radio program, it's something so disgusting going on in California. It is indefensible. I'll tell you what it is. Just wait. Next on the Wendy Bell Radio Network. I think part of the reason I have such a lack of patience with these people who are just snapping out of the trance, who have gotten some smelling salts, and they're awakening from autopilot, from the coma that has been the media narrative. There are some things that are simply off limits. There are some things that are wrong. There are some things that are irrespective of your politics, that don't involve your race or your gender or anything, because right is right and wrong is wrong. And damn it, it should not be complicated. It's not. And so I have very little patience with these people who are slowly awakening. What part of the whole transgender thing didn't scare the everlasting liver out of you? I mean, just from the overarching idea that it's normal for someone to be born one way and to become something else, and to involve surgery and drugs. I mean, I grew up in the DARE generation. And now we advocate for all of these scrambling elixirs, whether it's to fight a virus that doesn't hurt young people, period, and they knew that, to now this ridiculous quest, this race to the bottom to mutilate our youngest generation, and we're perplexed. I have no idea why there's such apathy in this Generation Z. It's so weird. Why are they so despondent? Why do they have no patriotism? Why is there no hope? Oh, I don't know, because maybe some of the people in their lives, the parents, the adults, who should have been protecting them, didn't. There's going to be a lot of come to Jesus moments out there. A lot of look in the mirror moments. Which just baffles me. Baffles me. At no point in my sane life, if one of my sons came to me and were like, you know what, Mom? I think I should be a girl. And I think you should take me to the doctor. And I think I should start transitioning. At no point would yes come out of my mouth. Say what? And this is particularly important at present because of something that's going on in California that, I'm sure I don't want you to know about. Headline, Gateway Pundit. You ready? Do you know what your face looks like when it melts off? Because here it goes. Far left groups oppose effort to reclassify purchasing a child for sex from a misdemeanor to a felony in California. Far left groups oppose an effort to reclassify purchasing a child for sex. What? From a misdemeanor? Wait a minute. It's currently a misdemeanor in California for you to buy a child with the intention of having sex with them? What? And beyond that, it's taken this long for people to be like, you know what? I'm going to go with, we should probably make that a felony. You think? Hey, Earl, get in there. Look, I know everybody thinks it's cool to have sex with kids and we should be able to do it indiscriminately and buy and sell them at our leisure to go do whatever we want with them. But I'm going to go with no. What? We have to play the news report for you, okay? So this news report, this is courtesy of KCRA, if I'm not mistaken, that's Sacramento, all right? This is a very matter-of-fact news report. It would be like me having a very matter-of-fact news report that we just found out that there is a cannibalism wave in this country and people are barbecuing their neighbors. And you can smell it in the neighborhood. You think it's ribs, but it's actually somebody's thigh. And I were to tell you this with a straight face as though this has been going on forever and it was no big deal. And you were like, ew, what the hell is wrong with you? Uh-huh. That's how this feels. Ready? Go.
Right now, under California law, purchasing a child for sex is a misdemeanor crime.
What?
Republican State Senator Shannon Grove wants to change that and have it classified as a felony. As a misdemeanor right now, buyers can spend a maximum of 1 year behind bars plus a $10,000 fine. Grove's proposal, SB 1414, proposes to increase the punishment to a felony with up to 4 years in prison. She also proposes to have these buyers register as sex offenders for 10 years. Senator Grove says this will build off of her work from last year when state lawmakers changed the law to consider child sex trafficking a serious felony in California.
You think?
This bill is supported by both Democrats and Republicans.
A lot of the survivors are lived experienced experts. We're saying, you gotta go after the buyer. It's just a misdemeanor. And I thought, there is no way if you buy, I thought they were mistaken.
Ew!
Opponents of this measure include several criminal justice reform groups, including the Californians for Safety and Justice, Ella Baker Center for Human Rights, and the California Public Defenders Association. That association, in its opposition, has said that current law already addresses the issue. It also said, in part, this bill punishes some defendants more harshly, felony punishment and sex offender registration, even when those persons do not have the intent to have sex with a minor. Similar proposals have been blocked at the state capitol since 2014, according to legislative documents. We'll see what happens with this version of the bill when it has its first hearing next week.
Oh my gosh. I want to call that reporter, Ashley Zavala, and say, how in the hell did you do that with a straight face? You're talking about the selling of children for sex. And you're talking about buyers. Ew! What has happened to these people? Honest to God, how do progressives look in the mirror? And they say, oh, we're really good people. We care about equality and diversity. We care about equal outcomes, about being able to have sex with children whenever we want. What? And then I love that at the very end, opponents say it's a little too harsh on the dirtbag, scumbag, pedophile losers who need to be locked up, given frontal lobotomies, right? Or I don't know, made sterile, whatever you want. Grab bag, whatever you want. What's the punishment? Is it death? I mean, I don't know. Somebody who wants to buy a child to have sex with him? And they're talking about this. Well, I don't know. I'm kind of, you know, misdemeanor kind of suits me. You know, it's a year in jail, $10,000 fine. I mean, that seems harsh enough. And then these organizations that are like, we're kind of against this. How about the names? Californians for Safety and Justice. For who? Not the kids being sold to be had sex with. What? The Ella Baker Center for Human Rights? What rights does a child have? And California Public Defenders Association, which is defending the offender's rights, not children. You guys, this is the state of California. And we're all wondering, we're like, I don't understand what's going on with these places. Like, it's getting really weird out there. No. It's been weird. And shamefully, I'm just seeing it. And the matter of fact, calm, kind of blasé. Right now, lawmakers in California think it's fine to buy a child and have sex with them. It's just a misdemeanor. Some people want it to be a felony. That seems a little extreme. On what planet are we having this conversation? So here's the story on Gateway Pundit. California's legislative battle intensifies as far-left, quote, social justice groups stand in opposition to a bill aiming to strengthen the penalties for purchasing or soliciting a child for sex. Social justice. If social justice equals full-term abortion, social justice will be defeated. If social justice means made medical assistance in dying, where you have a government that says, eh, you know, you're kind of having a rough day, rough go, you can't make your mortgage payment, we understand. Take these pills, ruin your life, destroy your life, kill yourself, and we'll take care of the rest. What? That needs to be destroyed. If social justice means the buying and selling of human beings under the age of 18 for the purpose of sexual servitude, I'm done. Who on the left? This is why Bill Maher said, look, this progressive liberal crap on the left, this wacko, out of control, indefensible stuff, you're making moderates, you're making Democrats become more to the right. Yeah. Because you know who's not down with killing people? Unless it's capital punishment? Republicans. Literally, I don't mean to sit here and be stunned. How can you not be stunned? Is there nowhere, no one in these organizations? There's no one at the Ella Baker Center for Human Rights who worries about a child who falls into this? Is this where the 85,000 unaccompanied migrants went? Because we have an apathetic government that doesn't care about them. 85,000 children under the age of 18 traveled to this country and no doubt were raped along the way and had despicable experiences to get to this country, the promised land, the chosen land, only to be quote unquote lost by the very government that's cashing in on them for sex. I don't have words for a parent who lets their 12-year-old take puberty blockers. I don't have words for a teacher who encourages a child to run away from home and go to a sanctuary state nearby to forever mutilate their body. And I don't have words for people who don't stand up and stop it all. Quick time out. When we come back, I love Matt Gaetz. I would claim him as a boyfriend, but my docket is full. Matt Gaetz takes us on a tour in the bowels of Congress to highlight the House Republican insider trading grifters. Oh yes, it is a uniparty problem, my friends. We'll go there with you next on the Wendy Bell Radio Program. So I stumbled upon something. I love how I stumble upon things because this happens all the time. And then I, all of a sudden, you know, I'm like, I'm just going to check. I'm going to go on Twitter for like 10 minutes. I'll just scroll through and see what's going on. And then an hour and a half later, I'm like down this hole digging into something. And I'm like, what? So this Blaze original documentary, Glenn Beck's Operation The Blaze, they do great, great work. Called Bought and Paid For. How Politicians Get Filthy Rich. It's just dropped. I found this because Matt Gaetz was in it. I follow him. And he had put out this little snippet. And I want to share this with you. So The Blaze sends a reporter in with Matt Gaetz, obviously congressman from Florida, who takes the reporter on a trip into the bowels of the Capitol building and stops by all of these various offices where he says there's something very bipartisan going on. Bipartisan is usually code for we suck. You think it's about cooperation. We need everybody to get on the same page. No, we don't. We really don't, right? Sometimes there's no reaching across the aisle. Don't cover for me if I'm a dirtbag. I want you to hear what Matt Gaetz exposes, and he talks about this very specifically. It's the Congress people in the GOP allegedly getting rich off of insider knowledge, okay? Specific to House Republicans.
Congressman Gaetz offered to take us on a tour.
So one of the committees where people have a lot of information is the Appropriations Committee, because they can view almost any vector of government funding. And so, you know, this is Mr. Rutherford's office. He's on the Ethics Committee and the Appropriations Committee. 152 stock trades. Stocks go through the roof. And, you know, actually bought Raytheon stock the day that Russia invaded Ukraine.
What?
Yeah, that's a big one. Yeah, I mean, imagine if every American could make money off of war.
Yeah, setting aside the whole shame and ethics questions. How many more on our hit list here?
There are a few more. I wish there were fewer on the hit list. I wish we could only stop at one or two offices, but as it turns out, energy is a sector that sees a lot of congressional stock trading.
Sure.
And we have members who are on the Energy Subcommittee of Appropriations, like Michael Guest, chairman of the Ethics Committee, and he's traded somewhere between tens and hundreds of thousands of dollars in energy stocks. He's been buying online gaming stocks and just making a killing on them. So you would think that the people that were on the Ethics Committee would be your best allies in this fight, but indeed, they're some of the most prolific traders. And not only trading, but in the case of Mr. Guest, trading in an area where he has access to energy information more so than almost any other American.
And no indication that he wants to maybe slow down, pump the brakes, recognize that there might be some appearance of impropriety here?
It seems as though the pace is only accelerating.
All right.
I mean, is anybody surprised? Are you at home going, wait, I've never considered that before. Really? This is why these people don't vote for term limits. Because once you're in, right, you claw your way in, you make a deal with the devil to get in. It's like this grand club. The members vote on whether or not you are worthy. And then you are presented with an opportunity to pay back those who opened the door for you. And you do so by getting involved in some kind of compromising crap, which is the mechanism of the bribery blackmail apparatus that is our United States government. So here you have House Republicans. How many have gotten loaded? Well, this Blaze explosive documentary, bought and paid for, how politicians get filthy rich. Matt Gaetz says the reason congressional stock trading is allowed to persist in the absence of stronger laws is because both sides are doing it. They're two heads, same snake. Bipartisanship can be one of the most insidious things in a town when it's bipartisan corruption. Like, sometimes I feel every single thing that we're looking at, the abject corruption in the Department of Justice, from judges and district attorneys to FBI agents and CIA officials working in concert with social media companies to screw you, to control you, to push a narrative that isn't believable, and to come after people who say that, right? To the CDC and the FDA, how do you dismantle something that is so woefully corrupt, whose money laundering tentacles go so deep, people would die and kill to keep them secret? To the halls of Congress, how many people there can you actually depend on? How many people there do the job irrespective of the bribes? I can think of a handful. And only a handful. How do you look at a system that has been allowed for so long to run corruptly, ineffectively, dangerously, and expensively? How do you start from scratch? And how do you not feel completely daunted by that reality? Look, if COVID hadn't happened, as awful as that was, as terrible as that experience was, as many of you who were touched in a tragic, life-changing way from that, if those folks hadn't unleashed this on us, we wouldn't have seen. We wouldn't have been home to watch. We wouldn't have the front row view, and we wouldn't have this awakening today. But damn it, do I want to hit fast forward and get to the finish line. Hour number three of the Wendy Bell Radio program. You know what? The black community, they know what's going on. These are not sleepers. These aren't people who are asleep at the wheel. I've got proof of it. The woman who told Trump at the Chick-fil-A, don't believe the media, sir. Her sound. Boy, next.